Oh, we're on. Sorry. I was just getting into that really, really great music that James put in the break. I saw a tweet from Elon Musk this morning. Says, wow, steak and eggs with coffee in the morning really feels like a power up. He's only just discovered that now. Dude, you were born in South Africa. You should know steak is good at any time of the day. In fact, you know what? I think tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to make steak and eggs and eggs and steak.
Let's go.
That's what we should have for breakfast. Eggs and steak and steak and eggs. That's what we're going to do. Telling you tomorrow. How's that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you?
I love it. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm fucking going to. All right. Get ready. It's going to be so much fun. All right. So let's find out about the wild, wild origins of some wedding traditions.
Okay.
There may be some people going to a wedding this weekend. Who knows? I mean, there are people who get married in the dead of winter. The venues are cheap. And there's a lot of touching up on the photographs to make it look less brown and dry in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Mara, maybe you're going to a wedding. And
yes.
I don't know if you have been to any of these, but there's sometimes these traditions that creep in and you're like, where did this come from? Well,
yes.
Luckily for you, Simpiwe has done some research
mm-hmm.
by using all of the dodgy sites that she uses on the internet.
Of course.
And has found out where the things come from.
Yes. And in this case, we're talking about a white wedding, right? Ah. And most of the setting is in America.
Yeah. America.
Yeah. But number one is the wedding bouquet. So how it originally came about was because people were so smelly.
Yes.
You know, that they would get fragrant flowers yes. to kind of
hide, to mask the stinky body smells.
I know, right? And then what I found interesting whilst we're talking about people just smelling shady is that people would only really have like an annual bath like in May. And so most weddings would take place in June because they were smelling fresh.
Let me tell you something. Europe is a cold place, all right? So you can't warm up an entire bath full of water back in those days. It's too expensive. You have to burn too much wood. It's too difficult to do. So Europeans were way smellier than Africans 500 years ago. Way smellier. And perfume was only invented, as Simpiwe has already like indicated, because it was there to hide the smell of people that were not clean, that stank. Now, I just want to raise a glass and say thank you to all of our ancestors from whichever part of the world they come. Because people were generally unhygienic and filthy. And yet they still managed to have sex. Thank you. All those dead ancestors. All the Amatlozi. All of you who before us managed, despite the smell, to have passionate sex and make us eventually.
I think you should eliminate passionate.
Well, might have been. If everybody smells, then you don't know anything different.
I guess right? Back in the day, you weren't mad if you only lasted 4 minutes.
Correct. Spot on. Yes. All right. So that's where the bouquet comes from.
Yes. And then when it comes to the bridesmaids, originally the purpose of bridesmaids was to warn off vengeful spirits and also to confuse the enemy, you know. That was basically...
Confuse the enemy, like... What if someone's coming to kill the bride? They're
yes.
Like, which one?
Which one? And they're like, and also it was another theory is said that
it's rough in those days, hey? Like someone's coming to kill the bride. You're like, bring in some decoys.
Bridesmaids.
The bridesmaids. And I'm like, oh, the killer's like, I don't know which one to kill anymore. I'm gonna just have to kill them all. Jeez, it was rough.
It was rough. But another reason, and I think this one is up my alley, so that they don't outdo each other. Because they all wore the same thing. So I'm with that.
That is still a thing.
Yes.
That is still a thing. I've heard terrible stories, just kind of carrying on from that conversation we had about men and women and whether or not they actually compliment each other. I know a couple of stories where girls who I am friendly with have been bridesmaids and they say that the bride has often made them look shit on purpose so mm-hmm. she'd look nice.
Mm-hmm.
That happens, right?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
She's like, why don't you wear brown?
with the most unflattering
brown
dress, and you just excuse me,
poofy shoulders, and why don't we put you in like terrible shoes?
Oh gosh.
And let's put a big 80s belt across the whole thing. Why? Why must
and
I wear
you
this?
Know what's worse?
Because you look beautiful.
Thank you.
Because you're so beautiful. It makes all five of you girls who are prettier than me look really beautiful so that I can look nice as a bride. Yeah, that's honest. That's really honest.
I hate it. But onto the wedding rings, right? Most people know this one, but wedding rings were a sign of ownership.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Right.
And so women would kind of show off that they were owned by a man.
Right.
So that's interesting. And then the meaning behind carrying the bride through the door is actually because she needs to display that she's unwilling to leave her family and being forced into the marriage.
Sort of like that ukutwala thing that happens in traditional Zulu culture too. So there's a little bit of that. Listen,
yes.
Some of our history is not all rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, no,
all right?
It's not.
Like women were property.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is something that all of us across the world can share. There was no like enlightened society. You know, like these feminists these days, they go, there was a time when Mother Earth and the matriarchs ruled the world and everyone was just hugging and being friends and being nice to each other, and men didn't bring all their aggression and war behavior. There was no such time. Like, generally, everywhere in the world, for a very long time, mm-hmm. women were just property.
Yes.
Men just had their way with them. They were suffering as much as anyone else during war, if not more, because they were considered to be like part of the plunder. You know, it wasn't great. Let's just put it that way. Again, thank you, ancestors, for surviving and having passionate sex despite the smell.
Yes. And whilst we're still talking about like women kind of being property, the father giving away the bride was actually like a transaction. So it was one transfer of one property to another property owner.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk about like obvious contract.
Yeah. Okay. And then last but not least,
transactional. This is totally transactional. Honey, don't get too romantic. Oh, sorry, I won't do that. I'm just going to carry you over the threshold so everyone knows that you're mine and I've taken you with force from your family.
Nice. And then last but not least, the honeymoon, right?
Yeah.
The honeymoon originally wasn't about vacation and you taking time away with your partner. It was actually to go see the people that didn't attend the wedding.
Oh.
Yes.
Now, I would say screw them. They couldn't even come to the wedding. Why should you not take time out of your married bliss in the beginning of your time together to go and visit all those assholes who didn't come to your wedding?
Maybe they stayed far. You know, back in the day, transport was an issue.
I think that sounds like it's way too polite. I'm glad that that's no longer the thing. Now people just go away.
Yes, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I like that.
Yeah.
So you've taught me a bunch of things this morning. I learned from Ben what the links are.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew what a links golf course was until this morning. Learned from you about wedding traditions. I'm going to have a very, very irritating weekend telling everybody all this information they didn't know before. Be like, did you know where this comes from?
Are you sure you want to do that next time?
Sapira told me on the show on Friday. Yeah, it's true. Really. It's amazing. So a few things that I saw on the internet this morning that I think could be interesting. There are a lot of people talking about Trump's speech. Apparently, it was very unifying, nation building. He's not doing the things that he's famous for, as in, like saying horrible things.
I feel like he's a bit of a changed man.
Well, listen, if a bullet zooms past your head at that speed and almost turns you to mist.
You know?
I think it changes quite a lot. And anyone who thinks it doesn't, I can't take you seriously. Like, I really don't want anybody to have to go through anything like that, whether you like them or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine you escape assassination by millimeters, by seconds, just because you turn your head. Everything is okay, as opposed to how it would have been if you didn't.
Oh, yeah. So have you seen some of the videos now where they're analyzing how if he did not tilt his head when he did at the exact time,
yo,
it would be a different story. In fact, it would have like Yo, those videos have been insane. And I'm just like, for everyone who thinks it's staged, I'm like, no, guys, it can't be. Not like this. Like, they should have gone the shoulder or something. The ear.
I mean, it's almost like a bit of a parody, but do you know who introduced Trump at the rally at the RNC?
Mm-mm.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh my!
With a handlebar mustache. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. Anyway. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens there. He's also said things like, I could stop a war with a telephone call. Just one call. I could stop it all. He didn't say that with a rhyme, but it would have been nice if he did.
You gotta love him. You just gotta love Trump. Like,
again, big dick energy, right?
Yes, that is the definition.
No matter what Stormy Daniels says. All right, so that's all the politics you need to know about this morning, because it is Friday. We're not going too heavily into that stuff. Here's something interesting. A drug has increased the lifespan of laboratory rats by nearly 25%. Do you want to live 25% longer? Well, they hope that this can slow human aging too. The treated mice were known as supermodel grannies in the lab because of their youthful appearance. Yep, they were healthier, stronger, and developed fewer cancers than their unmedicated peers. The drug is already being tested in people, but whether it'll have the same anti-aging effect is unknown. Scientists have long known the aging process is malleable. Laboratory animals live longer if you significantly cut the amount of food that they eat. Now the field of aging research is booming as researchers are trying to uncover and manipulate the molecular processes of aging. So they are already testing it on people, but they haven't said who. Sure. Definitely sure. They're testing it on her and Jane Fonda. Madonna didn't get her. She didn't get her injections. Right? Seen what she looks like. Yes, sis.
Why do people want to live forever?
I don't know, but 25% longer, Sims, if you could look the age that you are now for an extra 25 years. Come on.
It would be great, I guess.
Because you always think you're going to get that time at the end of your life. Imagine you can get it now. Imagine you can have 25 more years of being where you are now. Who would say no to that?
Me.
Why?
Because life, okay, this is just me because I don't like adulting, right? And right now I'm just like, can I go back to just being 16, not paying bills, not worried about anything? And then now you're telling me there's 25 more years where I'll look like this, but my stresses.
The stresses.
No. Yeah,
you should watch Wednesday's show when we had Jack on, and he played these clips for us of like old people's advice. And they all said the same thing. It's like the relationships you have, it's the fun that you have, it's experiences that you have. All that other stuff that you're talking about is unimportant. Do it right now. I mean, how do you know that you haven't got just another 25 years to live? And I'm using 25 just because we said 25% earlier, but it could be 5, it could be 10, it could be 20, it could be 100. You don't know how long you've got, but every minute now is the best you're ever going to be. So enjoy it. What the hell? You can't go back and be 16 again. You can't. There's no way. So be where you are now and enjoy it the most. Because there is going to be a day where you're going to be like, oh, the leg is sore. The asshole. The teeth. Whatever, you know? Like now, this is the time. So anyway, they're testing this stuff on humans.
Let us know how it goes.
Let us know which humans is more the point. And, what if they start looking really terrible?
Don't call me anytime soon. That's what I'm saying.
You just don't want this.
I really don't. I think I'm okay. I think I'm embracing aging and just like loving the fact that like, yeah, this might be like the best years of my life, but there's still better to come, man. There's wisdom that comes with getting older. I might actually look better when I'm 35 at 28. You know what I mean? So for me, it's like, I don't necessarily want to hold on to, this is the best version of me. No, there's a better version of Simpure. And I want to see how she looks like in like 10 years time. And hopefully I have more money as well. So that would make me want to, maybe when I have less stresses, be like, yeah, let's do the 25.
That's if you're rich when you're old. What if you're poor?
Let's cut it now.
So Rebellious Ruth says, I'm telling you, the Botox and the Ozempic downfall is going to have a knock-on consequence. Yeah, I mean, we don't know yet what the consequences of all these things, the unintended consequences of these are going to be. I mean, it might be terrible. Tato says, girl, you know you age like fine wine.
Thank you.
But this is a good point by Congo Chris. Our mortality is what makes us human. Well, there we go. I mean, it's all in that, right? That the whole word mortality means precisely that. It means it comes to an end at some point, and that's you being human. The Greek pantheon used to envy mankind. So all the gods used to be very jealous of humans because our lives are fleeting. You don't mess with our humanity. All death is certain. And make the most of the time you've got, but don't wish for more. Is that what he's trying to say?
I guess so.
I'm going to wish for more. I don't care what you say, Congo Chris. Give no shit about you. St. Peter's looking like a whole meal, fancy, schmancy.
Thank you.
Look, all these comments, all these very complimentary things for St. Peter to start a weekend. They'll end up being zombies from The Walking Dead, says Signet. Botox is good, says Hermine. I've been using it for decades.
Hermine says, Botox is great. Just don't worry about it. You don't need anything else. Just lots of Botox.
Sure. Pumlani says, you can be hot and wise, Simpiwe. That's what you are, I think. I think it's a compliment as well.
Thank you.
Oh, just take it. You're about to argue, right?
No, I was going to say, yes, but I mean, there's more wisdom as you get older with some life experience, you know?
Sure.
That's all. But thank you.
All right. It's very, very interesting. There's stuff going on. IOL have to apologize for something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So apparently, you know, there's that Ghulam account.
Yes.
On X. So this, I follow Ghulam. Hates problems. MK, hates Jacob Zuma. All of that stuff has been involved in a lot of fights with Duduzile, all that stuff. And apparently IOL revealed who they thought was the person behind this account. Three separate times, and all three times it was wrong. So they basically doxed the wrong person three times. The first time it was some businessman in KZN, and this guy comes out. He's like, that's not me. Come and check. You can have access to all my internet and all my accounts and everything else. It's not me. So they're like, oh, sorry. Then the second time, they said it was someone in the presidency. And that person, they named this person. That person came out. They're like, that's not me. I'm not involved in this account at all. I don't know what you're talking about. Where's your proof? And they're like, actually, we don't have any. And then there was a third person as well. Oh. Like, how embarrassing is that? And I mean, you should be sued, frankly, because you could ruin someone's life forever. Imagine you're just going about your business. You've got some little shop or whatever. You suddenly get called like the biggest Jacob Zuma hater. And people are like, you imagine his supporters are like, descend on your shop, ruin your life. And it's all because IOL with Iqbal Serv made a bullshit claim against you.
Yeah.
I would be furious. They should sue. They should definitely sue.
Right? Sure, three times. That is hectic.
Anyway, they've gone and blamed a technical error. Yeah, sure.
What happened to making sure like that this is the right person before you even publish the article to say, here are our receipts, here's what we found. Not do the work afterwards on someone. When someone says, hey, this is not me. And then you guys are like,
unbelievable.
Aye, guys, no. You see, this is, I wish I could do impressions, but this is when we need Trump and Black fake news. Fake news.
You've seen my stamp, right? I've got a stamp that says fake news. Yeah, I just put that on
things. This is what he's talking about. Like, everything is just fake news. Fake news. Don't believe it. Like, don't believe anything you read because this is nonsense.
Right. Let us welcome our guest for this morning. It's always nice to have people come and spend some time with us, especially on a Friday. I mean, we had a shark attack survivor yesterday. I mean, not yesterday, last week.
Last week.
He was terrific.
He was great.
And how inspiring. You know, he was so like positive and optimistic, and there was just no bitterness. Let me tell you, if a shark took my leg, I'd be so goddamn grumpy for the rest of my life. I would not be fun to be around.
And the fact that he went back.
Amazing.
Sir, you're a better human than I am.
Well, we have Prince, the comedian, here with us this morning as a Savannah Comics Choice Award winning South African comic. He has brought laughter to audiences all over the globe. He's even been in Switzerland recently as well, South Korea. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of cool touring and traveling. And you might have seen him in the spotlight on Trevor Noah's Nation Wild or in his one-man show at Mnet and Showmax. He's also featured in the Netflix film Republic of South... Ah, shit. He has a show coming up in Johannesburg tomorrow. We'll tell you all about that in just a second. What a pleasure to have you here. How are you?
Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah, you're good, man.
I'm nice. Up super early for this good. One.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. That's comics, where you are up late doing stand-up, and then you have to wake up early and come and spend the morning with us. It's not always the best, combination.
It's a privilege. It takes some doing, but it's a privilege.
So what's been happening, man? It seems like you are setting fire to things.
I'm trying my best, Gareth. I'm trying to set fire to things. I've got a tour going on, which I'm taking all around the country. Well, we call it a tour, but it's not a tour in like the American sense where you're like...
So you're not like you're Beyonce and you have a makeup artist and a hair person.
And you're going city to city.
It would be a waste to have a hair person with you.
No. Yeah, I messed up today. I didn't know I was going to have to take the hair.
So you don't have like a trailer and lighting and sound people.
No,
and...
shame, it's not like that. You see, this is the South African context. So even when you say tour, like in America, if you say tour or the UK, I'm assuming that from this venue, this city to the next city to the next city to the next city. But this tour is more like every month I go somewhere and then I come home. And I go somewhere and I come home again. It's a tour. It's like
Some people's like, that doesn't sound fun at all. That sounds like work, but it is work.
Pieces. Yeah.
I mean, listen, where are your favorite places to play? Because South Africa has some nice crowds and some cities it's fun to be in, and other places are shit. I mean, like, if someone said to me, you must go tomorrow, and you're going to DJ in Velkom, I'd say, you know what? I don't really need to. It's okay.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the people. The good people have actually, they're no good people. I take it back. But no, I wouldn't want to go to Velkom, would you?
I think I'm good anyway. I'm pretty flexible as a comedian. Where I do struggle, not in terms of performance, but just in terms of like finding my feet and base, like in Durban.
I struggle in
Durban to get my people know.
Yeah, that's why.
You don't speak Zulu, but also they're cheap. Now everyone's coming under some fire this morning, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Durban people, like I remember friends of mine used to organize concerts with like big international acts. They used to say they cannot do Durban because people don't spend money. They either don't have it or they don't want to spend it.
Yeah.
And trust me, like you think Cape Town and Joburg are weird when it comes to weather. Durban... Everything must always be minimum 25 degrees. Yeah. The sun must be out. There must be no wind. Otherwise, Durban people don't do anything.
Yeah, a bit of rain and it's like... Even if they bought tickets,
they give up.
And I'm like, I don't get Durban. But the rest of South Africa, no, I'm fine. I even do Bloemfontein. I do Kimberley. I just did Kimberley now.
How was that?
Do you know what's nice about small towns is that they actually like come to the shows with like the big googly eyes and like they want it. Yeah.
Because you're the first thing that's happened in Kimberley for ages.
The big hole.
No, but I mean, that is true. And I do have to say for South Africa, we have in these little towns, we have communities of people who really enjoy being entertained.
Yeah.
Like they don't take it for granted because they have to wait for someone to come to them.
Yeah.
It's not like in Joburg where you're like, I could go out tonight. There are about 10 places I could go to, but I don't think I will.
Yeah.
You know, like we're a bit jaded and ungrateful.
Yeah. I think in a small town, if you can get the word out, if you can have a decent marketing, you know, a banner, posters, word out, like your support should generally be quite good. Because once word of mouth spreads, it like covers the town. If you can do it well, it covers the town.
But you're doing Joburg tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so where's that? So people get
It's
that
in a nice cozy venue. It's called the Bioscope. It's at 44 Stanley.
That's very nice. Yes. I've been there before. It's a really nice little place.
Very nice little place.
Not so little. I mean, you could fit like 100 people in there.
Yeah, I think it's between 60 and 100 if you do it well. But what I like about it is it's got popcorn.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in a mini little theater.
Yeah, it's like an old school mini theater.
Is the popcorn there to help if there's any silence?
because then you can just...
Have you ever had someone hit on you after a show? because they thought you were so funny and they're like, hi.
Oh, they did the, oh, you're so funny.
No. Do you know what I have had? I'll tell you one memory I remember is I was performing at Kitchener's one night and I'd done particularly well because they were very popular comedians on the lineup that night. For some reason, they chose to put me last.
Oh, don't. Take some credit. You were on a good lineup.
I was on a good lineup.
It wasn't just those other popular comedians.
But then I killed it. So I killed it at the end. Yeah. And I think there was like, you know, this Brahm has a lot of these students. And there's one girl who came to me, stood in front of me, looked at me with like the googly eyes and what, and couldn't say anything. A friend had to be like, you were so amazing. We really enjoyed you. And she was just there like, you know, the, wow. You know that Puss in Boots face?
Yeah, lovely. I Puss like in that. Boots
face. And I was like, okay.
That's very nice.
So that's happened. Gareth, can I just say, you guys were talking about aging earlier on. And you know, they say black don't crack.
Yeah.
But I don't think you crack either, Gareth.
Yes, sis, I'm trying.
You haven't cracked in a while.
I'm holding it together. No, listen. I there's a reason I don't watch the show. There's a reason I'm on the show.
Zooming to your room.
I can't stand it. No. You know what? That's nice of you. But I think it's just like stress-free living. I don't let stuff upset me. And I think so many people, I don't know that this is the key. I mean, maybe I'm just lucky. And sometimes I think when I look in the mirror, I'm not lucky, but I don't get stressed about dumb shit. I like if people, and I watch, I used to be like one of those people. I used to get upset in traffic. I used to get huge road rage. And now I just listen to podcasts, laugh, think about what I got to do that day, use it almost like meditation time. And people don't upset me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just really not, I can't tell you the last time I was really cross.
Yeah. Yeah. I never understand when people get mad at taxis in Johannesburg. I'm like, how long have you been in Joburg for? You must be new, right? Like, no, I've been here for 20 years, and you're complaining about taxis.
Yeah.
No, man, you need to
waste of
you
energy.
Need to foresee a taxis. And you're like, this guy's probably gonna stop right here. Let me slow down.
And as I've told so many people, guess who's going to let you in if you can't get into a lane? The taxi.
Yeah, they're actually very understanding sometimes.
Sometimes you need those people. Yeah. Trust me. Okay, so you've done some pretty high-profile stuff here. I mean, that Nationwild, what was that experience like?
So Trevor Noah's Nationwild, it's a show done by Mnet, DSTV.
Yeah, I saw the posters. I haven't watched it, though, but I've seen it.
It's 12 episodes, I think, 12 or 13 episodes. Each episode has a different comedian in it.
Okay.
Trevor Noah comes out, he does some jokes, he introduces you, you come on, you do your set. I think they have it playing on Showmax and DSTV. That was a great experience.
You get to spend some time with Trevor?
Weirdly enough, no.
Yeah, you see. Too big a star now. It's too important. But that, I mean, that's a nice show to be on because he lends credibility to it.
Yeah.
More people will watch it.
Yeah.
Gets you some interesting ideas.
They actually
ideas,
don't watch
gigs.
It.
They don't watch it?
No.
Really? So nobody's seen the show?
No, they don't watch it. They don't watch it.
That's the funniest thing. This is a comedy show. No one watches it.
Do you know what some people even told me? They're like, dude, there was 12 episodes. Your episode was like episode 11. I watched the first four and I was like, nah.
Wow, that's bad.
Yo.
So they never even
And got because it's
to...
on Showmax, what do people have to subscribe to the show or to or if they've got a Showmax account they can watch it for free?
Yeah, so if you have a Showmax account, you can possibly watch it. Not possibly. You suppose you can watch
just go
it.
Straight to episode 11.
Yeah, do that. Go Skip straight those. To episode 11. Yeah. Don't deal with the other people.
Do you think there's too much variety, too much choice? People are spoiled for choice now, so they don't have to watch these shows. I often think, like the shows I was on, like Idols, for example, where we had incredible ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, we were, it was the most popular show in the country.
The good old days.
But I think it was because there wasn't anything else. And people didn't have 100 different choices. We had like four channels.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I also feel like, you know, no offense to Showmax, but I think the difference between Netflix and Showmax is when Netflix has a show, they do very well algorithmically and marketing-wise to let you know that we've got this big show. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. They put on the banner. You have to watch it. Whereas I don't think Showmax does the same. I think they're trying. But I think it's easy to have a show on. Like, I have a one-man show on Showmax. And I mean, again, unless I tell you it's there, You'd never know.
It's a very big deal to have a one-man show on a channel like that. It's a big deal. I mean, that's regarded as the sign of success anywhere in the world for a comedian. But I think audiences are so fragmented now. It's so difficult to say that you have X, Y, or Z audience because they change their mind like that.
And
for TV, it must be so difficult because producing those things is expensive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2,000 people watch it.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, what did we put this money towards? It's no bad reflection on you.
Yeah.
It's no bad reflection on the channel even. It's just that people have options.
For days.
Yeah.
YouTube especially. Like my latest special, I actually just put it straight onto YouTube.
Really?
Because I'm like, this is a shareable link. You ever ask me about my comedy, I send you a link, boom, you're in the game. I don't need to tell you to go get a subscription to none of that.
Melissa says, I've watched it, shim.
That's one.
Is that all?
That's one person saying one.
That's all she's saying. I'm like, say a line from the show.
I'm sorry. Like the funniest thing is the way that Prince just went, no one's watching. No, 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 no one watched.
Well, now you know there's one person you can say.
When people bump into me on the street, they're more likely to know me from a show that I did called Guy Code.
Yes.
I'm a Guy Code. People would still meet me and they'd be like, oh snap, Guy Code. Because I had this line, what happens on Guy Code stays on Guy Code. Right. You know, from the
problematic
from the Fight Club movie.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But no one ever says, oh, Prince from Unnecessary on Showmax. Never. never. Prince from Trevor Noah's Nation. Never. Yeah. Not even Trevor Noah says that. Hey, Prince from
So Signet says, I love South African comedy. We've got some real talent. We do. I always like to check in with comedians who I have on the show because I don't go to these shows much anymore. I always love it when I'm there.
Yeah.
But I you know, leaving the house, I'm just not going to do
it. Post-COVID stuff.
Yeah, but I'm there, I'm like, wow, this is actually really good. And you leave and you've laughed so much, your stomach hurts. And we do have brilliant comedians. But do you think we have too many or too few at the moment? Because I know we've got a problem with venues. Like there aren't that many places where stand-up comics can do their thing.
I think industry is our problem at the moment. I don't think there's too many or too little comics because we spread out, you know.
Okay.
Vernac comedians are in the Vernac space. Afrikaans comedians are in the Afrikaans space. And then obviously each people in their different cities. So we all have a chance. I think industry is the problem. Like after COVID, comedy's become a very individualistic effort. I don't even know if I'm answering the question yet.
Speaking... what do you mean by that? Like how did your audience look? What are they like?
My audience. Oh. Okay, so my audience.
What do you think your niche is?
It's still a growing audience. Typically, the default setting would be for me to have a colored audience.
No.
But that's not...
You wouldn't say with the accent, no, hey? No.
But that's not what I want.
What the heck?
No. What the heck? No, that's not what I want, though.
Okay.
I appeal to so much... My comedy appeals to... Like, I performed in, if you look at the bio, Switzerland, South Korea.
No, no, listen, dude, your creds are great. I'm not trying to, like, trap you here. I think that it's interesting. You brought up Vernac, so that's obviously one of the barriers. Like, if you're doing comedy in Zulu, you're going to attract a certain crowd.
Yes.
And those people are probably going to love the other Zulu comics, too.
Yeah. Right?
So that's one division, which you can't do anything about if you don't speak Zulu. But I think in South Africa, it's weird how some comics are able to just make everyone laugh. Because I think humor is universal.
Yeah.
So if you can't understand, obviously that's a major barrier. But, you know, I've seen guys who can make the Indian crowd laugh, the white people, the black people.
It's me. You're looking at me.
Yeah. That's good shit. So own it. That's very good.
Yeah.
You should be proud of that. That's fantastic.
But let me tell you, so before COVID, South Africa had like good industry, meaning that we had three comedy clubs.
Yeah.
It was Parker's Comedy Club, Goliath Comedy Club, Cape Town Comedy Club, and a few other ones that popped up and went. We had a good comedy circuit, meaning that we had established open mic gigs like your Kitcheners, Monday Night Comedy. So you knew that if you came into comedy, you started the open mic gig, there's natural progression. Mm-hmm. From there, you're going to go to Goliath and Goliath. You play at the Box. From there, you go to the clubs, Parker's Comedy Club. And from there, everyone knows you and it's time for your one-man show, right? So that's like natural corporate comedy ladder that you climb. Post-COVID, there's no such ladder. So each comedian is doing his own thing by himself.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So there's no industry currently, and I think there's a 10% group of comedians who people know and who are successful, and then I think there's 90% of comedians who are out there.
How did you get into this? Because it's not like it's not like this is some easy job that you go, oh well, I can do that for money. First of all, it takes a while to earn the money.
Yeah.
Second of all, it takes all the confidence in the world to go up in front of an audience on stage and start trying to make them laugh. And South Africans we know comedy. We've got a good sense of humor, but we're not going to sit there and go, yeah, if we don't think it's funny. So it's tough. Well, how did you get into this? How did you start?
Very interesting. So I actually went to university. I do have a degree in BCom Law and Management.
Sure. Okay.
For what it's worth.
Man is...
for what it's worth. And while I was at university actually studying, a lot of my peers would always say, dude, you're so funny, you should do comedy. It was annoying at first because I'm like, I'm studying what you're studying. Why are you trying to chase me away?
that's like those people
saying, less competition.
Yeah, you look great, but they don't.
Yeah. So I'm at university and people kept saying, dude, you should do comedy. So I started to sneakily do comedy. Like, so I'd be like on committees, mm-hmm. and then the committees would need to like maybe present something to the first years when they come in. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'd sneak in, like, so I had a little drug talk that I did to tell them about drugs on campus, you know, their first years. So then I snuck in some comedy
Did you teach them about how drugs are good or drugs are bad?
I actually play them an Eminem song, like a Slim Shady song. And I'm like, listen to this song. Now, you see everything he said in that song? All of it was bad. You heard that? Use your drugs responsibly, okay? Everybody stop it hobbly. Can we do that?
Yeah, it's a dark path. Once you start with the hubbly, it's downhill. Yeah. You know, by the end of that, you're going to be doing heroin within a week.
No, I'm like, what to do with a light bulb?
Yeah, what's that stuff called? What's that stuff that they crocodile?
Oh snap! What's that?
That's that fucking terrible. Haven't you heard?
I've heard of it.
I think it's an urban legend. To be perfectly frank, it might be bullshit.
Yeah,
but there's this stuff that they spoke about 3-4 years ago. Someone said they like inject the stuff. And then it like rots your skin.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. There's some dodgy shit.
So why would you do that?
I don't know.
But okay, so I'm at university. Then I start sneaking in. And then, you know, university have house events and stuff. Yeah. And so I start emceeing here.
Which
emceeing
university, then, by the way?
Rhodes. I was at Rhodes in Grahamstown. Yeah. Artsy. But very artsy.
Big drinking campus.
Yeah, I was going to say they were drunk most of the time.
Massive.
Big drinking.
Massive. When I went to university, we were number 2 in the world per capita alcohol consumption.
I don't think it's changed.
That's right.
You think we're still there?
I don't think it's changed.
Pound for pound.
Like 12 years ago, they lost the title to some American city, and the whole of Grahamstown was in uproar. They were like, we have to get the title
back.
Get it
back.
That's it. Yeah. That's they wild. Drank. I think they all put their shoulder to the wheel. They drank for like a year and they got it back.
They got it back. Unbelievable.
Well done,
now they're two-time
well done,
world
Grahamstown.
Champions.
Someone says here, Melissa says, by the way, Prince, for one, you were skinny as fuck on that show that I saw.
Hell yeah.
Success looks good on you.
I lost the hair, but I gained some weight.
I like that.
I take the trade any day, though. No, I'll take it any day.
Okay. Very, very good.
Nice.
So you did this at Varsity, and then from there, it became like a real serious thing.
Yeah. So from there, I was like, okay, cool. I was good at it, obviously.
Sure.
And people obviously recognized that instantly. So it was up to me to make the decision. So I decided to finish the degree first, just for good measure. And from there, I moved to Johannesburg to actually do comedy.
And of course, you have never looked back and gone, well, law would have been more fun. Said no one ever.
I started to realize why I did law. Like I took a deep dive within myself and I was like, oh my goodness, I think I wanted to be a lawyer because the lawyer in American programs jumps up and goes, Your Honor, I object. So in essence, I wanted to be a performer. I just didn't know where I wanted to perform.
Yes. I think a lot of people watched those shows like Boston Legal and Ally McBeal and Suits.
Yeah.
Yes. And they thought, this looks cool. But real life lawyers are not that
cool.
Not
at all.
And I studied law and I never ended up practicing. Thank God. Can you imagine what a terrible lawyer I would have been? And law is, a lot of it is boring. You know this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you've seen these people. By the way, To anybody who's listening to us and watching us now who is a lawyer, I mean, you have my eternal sympathy because I partook in a small bit of your witchcraft once.
Mm-hmm.
But these buildings here in Sandton that are all these big law offices, people are slaving through the night. You see lights on there.
Yeah.
3 a.m. drafting stuff.
Hey,
that's no life. It's no life.
Yeah. Some of it is interesting. I mean, I used to enjoy case law, which is because obviously all law is precedent. So any situation that happens now, we look back to find similar situations so that we can make our deductions. So case law is actually quite nice because it's real life situations.
Yeah. You hear about like this lady who had her cow stolen by this guy.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. That's cool. But doing the paperwork for that is now the terrible part. And the reading, that's the terrible part.
Grant says, rubbish, Gareth. I could absolutely see you in a law wig. We don't wear wigs in South Africa, but yes.
No, don't do that.
Hey, listen, I heard such a great story the other day. You know when someone says they're too busy?
Yes.
Like if you ask someone, and there's that brilliant saying that if you want something done, ask a busy person.
Right? Yes.
So I heard the story about the Emperor Hadrian, the Roman Emperor. So he was riding out to visit a detachment of troops that had just come back from the Danube War. And he was riding in Campania in Italy. And there was a lady there. What made me think of this is the lady in the cow. This peasant woman. And she had gone to all the people, the magistrate, the edile, the praetor, the quaestor, everybody she had to try and get relief because her cow had been butchered by the army. And she'd never been paid back. And she demanded compensation from the state. So she saw the emperor and she like went straight up to him and his horse reared up. And she said, Emperor. And he went, yes. She said, I have a bone to pick with you. You've got to solve a problem for me. And he said, look, I'm in a huge hurry. What is it? She goes, look, I had a cow and it was butchered by your soldiers. And now I demand compensation from the state. And he said, listen, lady, I mean, I'm the emperor of Rome. There are millions of people that I have to look after. I'm on my way to visit the army. We've got important things to do. And she looked at him and she said, if you are too busy for me, you are too busy to be emperor.
Whoa.
And he stopped everything, sorted out her problem, and then went to the
army. Oh, she got him with that
little lesson of humility. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Like, so if someone says to you, I'm too busy for you, you're like,
Let me remind you.
I'll tell you about Hadrian, the Emperor of Rome. Yeah,
you're too busy to drive that car of yours.
I love that story. I love that story. To be fair, really, Richard says, whoever actually uses a BCom business degree? I got one, and to this day, I've never used it. I think, why did I do this?
Well, there you have it.
Hey, listen, sometimes you go to university to learn about learning. Sometimes you don't go to get a job.
I agree.
I think we've lost something.
Yeah.
People used to go to university so that they could know things about the world and they could be around other learned people.
Yes.
It wasn't about getting a qualification so you could get a job, right?
I try to explain that to my parents a lot, you know, because I think sometimes there's other people who go, don't you think your son's degree is a bit wasted? And I'm like, no, like the things that I've learned in my degree has literally done so much for me.
Have your parents bought this argument, by the way?
I think they understand it more and more each time. You know, when I tell them I drafted a proposal, if I said I put together a budget for a funding application, I think that's when they're like, oh, snap, you. And if I had to show it to you on the laptop, you're like, oh, this is actually quite intricate.
He's got
line items. Yeah, I'm like, that's the accounting part of the BCom.
But that's funny that you have to explain it to them, because I think for a lot of parents, it's like, we're going to put up money so that you can go and get a degree so that you can get the best possible job.
So that you could become...
Right. And I think that we've got to also remind people in this country that isn't a surefire thing. I mean, like, we know how many graduates there are who can't get work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're lucky because you had choices, right? Because you're talented and you're clever.
Yeah.
So that's nice. You could become a lawyer, you could have gone into business, and you could have done stand-up, and you chose the most interesting of the three.
Yep.
Yeah.
The toughest one. I chose the toughest one.
Yeah. By far.
Yeah.
And out of all the performing arts, it's the hardest one of all two.
I think it's the most interesting, it's the most fragile.
Look
comedy
at those,
is so fragile.
Look at those fucking jugglers. They're jugglers. There's no stress. There's, I mean, they got regular work.
Sometimes they use knives, though.
It's so easy to be a juggler. You know, I have no respect for jugglers.
They just change outfits.
Sometimes they use knives with flames. And I'm like, okay, this is getting risky.
Yeah. If they die, it's cool. Next one.
I love it. Grant says, BCOMs are for people who had no idea what they wanted. So parents just felt justified. At least my child's got tertiary education. That's what my parents said to me. You have to go and study. I asked them, what? They're like, I don't know, just go and study.
Yeah.
I think that's a big problem. We must get people back to like studying so that you can be learned.
And gap years.
You like gap years. You think that's
so
a thing?
I have a younger brother. I encouraged him, take a gap year. Go and work, do stuff. And at the end of that year, I feel like you'll be in a better place to know exactly what you want to do. And it worked. It worked for him. He's doing well right
but
now.
Listen, some of these Gen Zs, again, I'm casting shade. They don't want to work. So you put them out into the world and they're like upset that they're not the CEO after 3 months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or they're not earning, you know, 50,000 with a car allowance.
And then they go sell Bitcoin and Forex on Facebook.
Or OnlyFans.
Oh, snap. That's an option.
Yeah. OnlyFans.
That's an option too. Like, pretty much my answer to everybody now who wants a job is like, send your CV. But have you thought about
it? I mean, you don't have to show everything.
Just the toes.
Just earn the minimum amount.
You can do the feet stuff. There's lots of money in that. Everybody knows.
No.
The only problem is, like, for a lot of people, the gap year that you're talking about means that someone else has to pay for it. That's bullshit. You got to go out there and like do little piece jobs.
And look, with a gap year, you still get to live in your parents' house.
Yeah.
That's the fortunate
free
thing about
accommodation.
A gap year. Free accommodation, free food, and you get to start your working life in a nice space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, after that year, you're more likely to know exactly what you want to do, and then you do it, and you do it well.
Yeah, but these fucking jugglers.
No. Keeping us entertained at the robots.
Listen, the robots have got some serious performers. The other day, I stopped on, I think it was William Nickel, now Winnie Madikizela Mandela Drive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there were four guys with boxes and they did this dance. I was like, shit, who needs to go to the theater?
Yeah.
This is better and it's short.
The timing is impeccable.
It has to be robot.
they stop just before the robot turns green again, so they can still walk to your car and ask for money.
Yes.
And then it's long enough for them to walk when the robot is red. And then.
Exactly. I mean, it's a hell of a thing.
It's also time to the T.
Amazing, right?
Because if you overperform, you can't collect.
Yeah. Yes, that's the thing. And they all do it. They do the ka-ka-ka-fa, and then they all walk on the various lanes.
I'm
and you
like,
and I always feel bad because I'm like, this was actually great. I wish I could give you a standing ovation, but I don't carry cash. So
every now and then they do somersaults.
I think it's great. Yeah, yeah. And these are little kids. Some of them are like 7, 8 years old, and they are better than anyone I've seen doing. Like major events, opening of World Cups and things. Telling you, it's good stuff. All right, so you've got your show at the Bioscope, which is tomorrow. There's still tickets available?
There are still tickets available.
Where do we get them?
You can get them on the Bioscope website, which is www.thebioscope.co.za. And if all else fails, just come to the venue and
you
just
can always
hope
bribe.
For the best. Yeah, we'll make a plan. We'll do a second show with as many of you.
There we go. You see, that's nice.
Just so we get those people. I'm like,
this guy's willing to put on an extra show if you just pitch up and it's full already. That's pretty cool.
So tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Bioscope. Yeah.
Very nice. And make a night of it. So you get popcorn, you go out for dinner beforehand, and you got a nice little show afterwards. You know.
And by the way, dinner you do it right there. At 44 Stanley.
Oh, yes, because they're all kinds of places.
Yeah, they've got restaurants, coffee shops, everything.
See, people don't know how to date anymore, Simpiwe. They must do
this. That is true.
Take a woman out and treat her to a whole night.
Testify, brother. Testify. Right? Because these
give her dinner,
men
take
don't
her to a
do
show.
This anymore. They're just like, when can I see you? We can come over.
He just wants a sleazy hookup in an alley. Don't give him that.
No.
Tell him you want dinner and a show.
Yes.
And light, you know, back in the day, they used to light a candle and then you date each other. And then when the candle is done, that's the end of your date.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
Wow. I thought candles were there for light, but you just taught me something.
It was a way for the older people to make sure that the dude leaves before naughty hours. So when the candle is done,
So
he needs to.
So what if you get those big candles that you buy now? You basically have the whole week. It's like,
no, they didn't have
that. For the whole week, everybody. I love it, dude. Have a good show. We will definitely come and take a look. That's tomorrow night. Tobioscope, you can get your tickets there or just come to the door, as he said. And good for you. I love this. I love that you're not doing law. You'd be so bored and irritated.
Yeah.
It's very. This is way more fun.
Alternative universe.
Yeah, this is good shit. All right, everybody. Have a good weekend. If you are drinking, don't drive.
Please.
Yeah, because Simpiwe is going to be on the roads. Are you drinking and driving? You're not driving.
I don't do that. I don't. I'm a very responsible adult. I just know how to have fun, though.
I feel like I want to have a bit of a ripper this weekend. I feel like I want to do. Yeah, I think I want to do
Let's
something.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Bloody hell.
Okay.
I'm in. We're all in. We're in, right?
Yeah, let's go to Bloemfontein and watch the Springboks.
Yo, okay.
No, you know how cold that place is right now?
Yo.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, thank you. The Free State. I love you, Free State. We haven't said anything shit about you. Not about to start now, but it's very cold there. I'm not going there. And remember, fuck the jugglers.